All right, we picked that song with that beat to wake you up here this evening. That's a series that we're starting this evening, building community. And I love that metaphor. I love that image that it shows in that video of kind of building this wall. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about the building blocks of community, those bricks, if you will, from the image that you saw on the screen of what it looks like to build a community together. I remember in seminary for a year and a half or so when I was going through school, my part-time job was to work as a construction day laborer. And I have two left hands when it comes to handy stuff, okay? I still remember in high school trying to hang a picture on the wall in my bedroom and I couldn't find a nail, so I thought, well, a screw will work just as good. And, you know, taking the screw and the hammer out and then making a huge hole in the wall, you know. Good thing there wasn't any, you know, tryouts for this new position as a construction worker. But one of the times that I remember most learning about construction and what it takes to construct houses and to refurbish them was the time when I had to go underneath the building to observe the foundation. And that was a little scary, and I had never done anything like that. But there was like a little crawl space beneath this building that we were working on, where we got to look at the very foundations that were holding it up. And in this small little building that we were working on, as we went underneath, it looked like those bricks, one after another, layered around the outer wall of the foundation. And some areas were cement blocks and others were bricks. But one upon another, you could see that at its very base, this is what held the whole construction piece up. And I started thinking about what that means for us as a community, as the people of God. What does it mean to have those strong cement blocks in place that we could build the house of God, if you will, upon, the community of God upon? And what I want to do here this evening is, as we open this series up, is to tie in what we're going to be talking about with our overall vision as a church and what we believe God has called us to do and to be as a church here in New York City. This on the screen you see is Calvary's vision statement. It's one that we crafted many years ago. It's engaging the city and impacting the world with the message of Jesus Christ. And I love this image because you see out of New York just kind of this starburst effect, if you will, that as we engage this city with the message of Christ, the message goes throughout the world. Now, I've been told by my Canadian friends that the place where the starburst ends up in northern Canada, there's not any literal people that live there. So forgive me for not having geographical accuracy on this map here, but you get the picture, don't you? That as we engage the city with the message of Jesus Christ, when we live it out and when we share it with others, there is this kind of compound effect that goes throughout the ends of the earth. That's our vision here as a church. That's what God's called us to do. And so part of that is that we as a church have a disciple-making process. If God has called us to make disciples, and that's all that this image is of engaging and impacting the world, it's just the Great Commission that Jesus gave in Matthew 28, just rearticulated for our setting. It's to go and make disciples of all nations, to go and make disciples of all nations. It's pretty good when your vision statement mashes up with Jesus's, correct? That would be amen. That would be an amen. Okay, let me help you out. Okay, amen. Very good. So part of it, what does it mean for us here as a church as we think about this disciple-making process? Well, we're talking about it in these kind of three circles. What do we hope for a disciple of Jesus Christ here at our church to go through as they grow in their walk with the Lord and as they are impacted by the message of Christ? We hope that they would come and worship with us at times like this, in our Sunday evenings, in our Sunday mornings, times where we worship God, where we lift up His name, where we celebrate communion, where we remember what He's done for us, where we share the Word of God, where we are reminded of the truths of Scripture and it seeks to change our lives. Then secondly, you see that circle on the bottom. We want people to connect with God and others, to find community. That's why we're here this evening. That's what we're going to talk about this evening, to find community. And then lastly, to serve and use their gifts. And I just wanted to show you this briefly as we start, and this is something that we'll be talking about in other venues in the coming weeks and months, but as you worship and as you find community and connect, then we pray that God might use those times so that you discern what are your gifts, what are your callings, that God could use as you serve here in the church and around the city and to the ends of the earth. It's the process. And if you see, you got to have, it has to go full circle here, I guess. That as we serve and share the gospel, we pray that more men and women may hear the truth of Jesus Christ and the call of the scriptures on their life, and they may come to worship with us. And they may come to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? To worship, connect, and to serve. If you've come here at Calvary, we pray that you might join us in this disciple-making process. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to spend our time in that middle circle, that connect circle. What are we talking about when we ask that men and women come here to our church and they find an opportunity to connect with God and with other people? What are we hoping they build? And the word we've already talked about, community. Community. This week, we're going to talk about a community that seeks to be rooted in God's word. Rooted in the scriptures. That's what we're going to be talking about this evening from Psalm chapter 1. Being rooted in the scriptures. What does it look like for our community to be grounded in God's word? Next week, we're going to be talking about a community that is devoted to prayer. A community that is devoted to prayer, not just prayer that God would give me all the things I want. Have you ever had prayer lists like that? You know, I was convicted recently when I heard somebody say, if God answered all your prayers tonight, would the world change? Would his kingdom come? Or would there be a lot more things given to you and a lot more ease and comfort in your life? Ooh, wait, that's next week's sermon. Say that. Put that in the back of your mind. We'll get back to it. And we want to be a community that's devoted to prayer, that's centered around God's kingdom and the gospel. We'll talk about that next week. And then lastly, 2 weeks out, we'll finish up this small series as we talk about a community that is sharing life with each other. Sharing life with each other. Being known. We'll talk about in 2 weeks the danger of anonymity. The danger of being a lone ranger as a Christian. That rhymes. I like that. Write that down. Write that down. The danger of going at it on your own. And the necessity, the calling, the gifting that God gives us as a community, as we connect with each other, to share life, to be known and to know others. Amen? And in a city of 8 million plus, it could be a very lonely place. But the community of God is a place where we could find our story known and the stories of others shared. Amen? So that's where we're going over the next 3 weeks. We want to talk about being a community rooted in the scriptures, devoted to prayer, and sharing our life with each other. That's what we hope will happen together this evening. And so this evening, let's start by looking at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. As we talk about being a community that is rooted in God's word. I want to read once again for us the first three verses that Derek read earlier. This is the word of God. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its seed, and its leaf does not wither, and in all that he does, he prospers. He prospers. Being rooted in the word of God. Rooted in the word of God. The Psalms, the 150 chapters of the Psalm book, if you will, set out for us the highs and lows of life and community with God. A famous Old Testament scholar says that all Psalms can be categorized into one of three categories. They're either Psalms of orientation, Psalms where our eyes are looked upon God and where we are praying the right things, where we are asking for the right things, and where we are rejoicing in the right way before God. Psalms of orientation. And for some of us, many of us, as we wake up and live our life, there are days where we are just walking with God and things have been going well and we just have hands lifted up in praise because things seem to be right. But the Psalms are real. The Psalms are honest. And this Old Testament scholar says that the Psalms as well fall into a second category. Psalms of disorientation. Psalms that reflect a life of sometimes frustration in living out our faith. They're often called Psalms of lament, where you see on the lips of the psalmist the brutal honesty of what it looks like to go through the down times in our life of faith. When things aren't always going our way, when our enemies seem to be doing well and we seem to be only frustrated more and more. No one's ever been there in their walk with God, right? The Psalms are a real opportunity for you and I to identify what it's like when things don't seem to be the way they should. But the Psalms all well have a third category, the Psalms of reorientation. You get it? Orientation, disorientation, and reorientation, where the psalmist confesses his sin, or when the psalmist confesses their trust again in Jesus Christ, or when the psalmist reaffirms their belief in the God of the Scriptures and in what God could do, that even in the midst of the difficulty and the downturn, that there is hope once again. And the Psalms end with the last several chapters, just psalms of praise before God. Psalms that have literally been through the ups and downs of life, and in the end, the hands are raised, and God is God. Amen? I love the way those psalms break down in that way, and I could reflect in my own personal journey of different times where those different psalms meant a lot to me. But here in Psalm 1 and in Psalm 2 as well, we see these psalms of orientation. They serve for us as kind of a launching pad for the rest of the psalm book. And they lay out for us two themes that we see repeated time and time again throughout the whole book. Psalms that were meant for the ancient people of Israel to orient them towards their God. Psalms that were meant for the people of Israel to focus them as a community, as they sought to be built up together in the ways of God and to follow the things of God. In chapter 1, we see that one of the orienting truths of the community of God is a trust in, a belief in, a stability in God's word. And in Psalm 2, which we're not going to really get to this evening, but I wanted it to be read for you, we see the second theme, that there is a hope in a promised king to come who will set all things right. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Trust in the word of God and hope in a promised king. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we believe this is only truly and ultimately fulfilled in the person of Jesus, who lived the perfect word of God in his life and will one day be seen as the king of all. But here in Psalm chapter 1, we see this orienting theme of being rooted in God's word as being central for this community. And the way the psalmist sets it up for us is by giving us these contrasts. He talks about the way of the wicked, and he talks about the way of the righteous. Look in verse 1 as he lays out for us the way of the wicked here. He says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers." There's this progression. I'll never forget the first time I recognized this when I was reading this psalm together. You see, it starts off first that blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, while he is in the neighborhood, if you will, he's not even spending time walking by the ways of the people that are wicked. He's not even passing by them. He is so upright in his pursuits and in his heart and in his mission that he spends no time even in the vicinity of them. But then the progression starts to slow down. You see what it says? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners. Ah, so you see the progression? It's kind of like, you know, walking and getting a glance at what's going on, and then standing and looking and gawking. He's saying, blessed is the man who does not even slow down to ponder the ways of sin. That it's not worth the gander, if you will. It's not worth the time. But then the progression downward goes even one step further in the text, doesn't it? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor take a seat in the way of the scoffers. In other words, blessed is the man who does not even join at the table with the ways of this world. A man who does not slow down to the point where it's beyond just pondering on the ways of evil, it is participating with them with a seat at the table. The psalmist lays out and says that this way is not the way of the community of God. These are the tempting ways of community that does not walk in the ways of the Lord. So think with me in your own mind, as I think in mine, of the areas that so easily tempt me or tempt you. What does it look like to walk, to stand, and to sit at those tables? For some of us, it's addictions. For some of us, it's impure things we put before our eyes. For some of us, it's wrong conversation, improper language. For some of us, it's from scanning a web page to slowing down to pressing the link. Do you know what I mean? The scriptures tell us that this progression of participation in the ways of the wicked, the ways of the world, are not what the community of God will be built upon. And if you in your life and I in mine are going down this path, then we're not building community, we're actually breaking down at the very core, the root, the foundation upon which community can be built. This evening, as we begin this series, may it start in my life, may it start in your life with some confession. God, forgive me for this progression downward. For some of us, it's subtle too, isn't it? You say, Pastor Mike, I don't hang out in those type of areas and I don't go to those type of places online, but how easy it is to just hear a tempting word and start down that gossip train. Nobody's ever been there? I mean, there's just sweet little morsels you want to hear in the ear as the scriptures talk about it, right? To talk about others, to not lift each other up. These are destroying community at its very base. So he goes on by way of contrast here and he says, the man that is blessed, in verse 2, is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it day and night, day and night. I'm asking myself this question as I went through this text this week. What do I take delight in? What reveals my love? What reveals my pleasure? And I think, a couple easy ways to start to look at that in our own life is to see, where have I spent my time this last week? What have I spent my time with? Or look back at your bank account over the last month. Where have you invested your dollars? That'll show you what you delight in. Or start to think back on your conversation. Where have you spent the most time talking about this week? I was talking to someone recently, and they were sharing how every time they get a chance, they look for opportunities to share the hope of Christ, but that sometimes those are hard, and they find themselves going weeks or even months without sharing their faith with Jesus. They started to ask themselves, do I really delight in the gospel if I haven't shared it with someone else? And this individual shared a story where he was at his workplace and he saw someone nearby that he sees all the time. And he said, I should go and share the gospel with them. I should go and share about Jesus. And when they went and they did so, the person said, "Thank you for coming. I've been thinking about God and asking questions of faith." What a good reminder to us that that which we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of him, is something to delight in. And the psalmist is saying here that we should delight in God's word like this. We should love it. Secondly, he says that we should meditate on it day and night, to think through the implications of the word of God in our life. The word of God in our life. I had a friend this last week who just sent me a text, and he's kind of a funny guy. And he said, "Man, I just had an unbelievable dream. I can't believe it." So what do you mean? What was it about? He says, you remember that pizza place we used to go to in college? I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Man, I had a dream that we were there eating pizza." And he says, "What does that reveal about where I'm spending my time?" I mean, just silly. But thinking through the word of God and its implications on our life mean that we meditate on it. We think through it. That it's not enough just to come once a week to hear it read and hear it taught for a half hour and to leave, but to be a part of God's community. As you and I seek to grow up into a community together, we must spend time meditating on it, thinking through its implications in our life, and talking about it with others. Thinking through it and talking about it. What does it mean for the Word of God to have impact on my relationship with my friend or my coworker? What does it mean for the Word of God to have impact on how I act at work? What does it mean for the Word of God as I meditate on it to have an impact on how I treat other people, both friend and stranger? What does it mean for me to meditate on the Word of God and think about those implications of what it means for my time and my money and my resources? And in this text, in this psalm, he is setting out for us the theme for the man and the woman of God to live by, for a community to build its life upon. Thinking through the implications for the Word of God in our life. This morning, Pastor Epstein preached from Ephesians chapter 4. And one of his points has been with me all day as I've been thinking about it. What does it mean to bear with one another in patience and gentleness? I believe this is why God gives you little children, to like test your patience and your gentleness, right? But I was thinking even beyond just the realm of being a parent, but as the church, as the people of God, what does it look like to be patient with each other and to bear with one another? This week, I had the opportunity to extend patience with somebody and to bear with them in a way that seemed like it was over the top. And in my mind, I thought, and I said to others, "I think I don't have to show them any more patience." But I was reminded that the grace of God in our life and in my life means that God is patient with us and bears with us, and that we can never, ever out-patient the will and purpose of God. So what does it mean? And this is what I've been thinking about, and I'll be thinking about it all week ever since this morning. Lord, who are you calling me to be patient with? As we build up as a community, we pray that we might meditate on God's word like this, so that when we gather together to talk with each other, it's not just about the weather and the sports and how cold we all are this evening, although I like it because it's keeping you awake. But we may talk about the implications for the word of God as we look to lead it. And in closing here, I want to look a little more deeply with you in verse 3, because we see what this produces in our life. If you and I reject the way of the wicked, if we do not walk and stand and sit with them, but if we meditate on God's word and if we delight in it and if we have true love in it, love that is only given to us for the word of God because of the gift of grace of Jesus Christ in our life, then you and I have something produced in our life. And that's why I call this evening being rooted in the scriptures. There is a great metaphor that the psalmist uses. He says, the person who delights and meditates on God's word is like a tree. Look at verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, He prospers. He prospers. He is like a tree that is planted. Here's the first thing that the Word of God produces in our life. When we delight in it and take joy and meditate on it, it produces stability in our life. It produces resiliency in our life. It is like a tree that is planted, that is strong, that is unwavering. Have you ever climbed a tree like that? One that could hold up your weight easily? I remember when I was in the high school, we would have these high ropes courses at this camp that I used to work at. Has anybody ever done these? These are just a bad idea. Okay. Man is not meant to hang 30 feet above the sky clinging onto a rope, okay? That's just not the way I roll. In fact, every year the young adults go on a retreat and they go hang out in the trees on the high ropes. And have I been up on one in all the years? No, I haven't. In high school, I did it. And I remember they tied you into this harness. And, you know, you climb up that tree. And one of the obstacles on this course is this big X. Okay, and it's just ropes, and it's about 20, 30 feet across, and it looks like an X. Have you ever seen this? And the goal is that you have to hold the top rope, hold the bottom rope, and walk your way across. You know what I'm talking about? So I get out there on this rope, and I'm already thinking for the last 15 minutes on this ropes course, this is not where I should be. But as I'm up there, and as I start along this rope, all of a sudden I start just a little wave. Have you ever seen anybody on there? By the time I got to the middle, I was violently shaking back and forth, holding on, until I ultimately had to fall and have them lower me down. Yes, that was pretty weak. And as I was up there, I started to remind myself, and as I went to the ground and never committed myself to never go up again, it's no fun being in a place that is unstable. It's no fun trying to make it across a great chasm, a dangerous place, if you're going to be shaking in the wind. You hear me? And the Word of God here in this text promises to you and to me that if we root ourselves in it, if we delight in the ways of God truly and meditate on it, we will be like a firmly planted tree. The winds could come, the storms could come, and we will not waver. In front of my house, there are these massive, massive trees that line our block. And during Hurricane Sandy a few years back, I never saw them shake like they did, waving back and forth in those great winds, if you remember that evening. And I thought to myself, these are all going to snap in half. But the next night, or the next morning when I woke up, there were definitely some branches all around, but the trees did not move. Do you hear me? For you and I to have a true community that's built in the ways of God, we could be rooted and established because this world is a hard place to walk and find stability. Secondly, in the text, he says that he is like a tree that is planted by streams of water. What does it mean for this tree to be planted by the water? It means that it could find the sustenance that it needs, that it could find the nourishment that it needs, that a tree that is planted by water, its roots will continually reach out until it finds the source of nourishment it needs. For you and I to be built up as a people of God in community, the Word of God does this in our life. It feeds us. The Word of God is not just a textbook for us to decipher and to discern and to understand from an academic way, but it is our very breath. It is our very water that we drink. At the end of the year, on December 31st, in the afternoon, I went to my basement, and it was starting to fill up with water. And right away, I knew that the drainage pipes coming from our house out to the street were getting clogged. And so I call up the plumber, and I'm desperately calling him because I don't want to be underwater. You guys get the idea. And he comes out a few hours later, and he brings these big old snakes. You ever seen these things? It looks like a drill. And he goes to the main drainage pipes that go out to our street, and he's going down for a half hour. He says he's clearing the pipes out, and I'm worried what he's going to find in there. Figured one of my kids threw a toy down the drain somehow. And he says, I found what it was. And I said, oh, no. I walked down the stairs. I said, what was it? He said, it was roots. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's just probably a small crack in the pipe somewhere from your house to the street. But all these trees that line up your block, they go for the water. You hear me? So much so that they break in and clog up the drains if that's where they could find their nourishment. Amen? And I thought, wow, what an image of what it means to be planted by streams of water, and living water are better than drainage pipes. What does it look like to be planted by streams of water in such a way that we are always pursuing that which will truly satisfy us, even if it means breaking through steel pipes? Do you get the idea? And all of us have times in our life where we go to broken cisterns to drink, as Jeremiah the prophet tells us. And we are shocked when we end up there with a big cup and nothing to come out of it with. We go towards friendship or relationship or career or money or position or that better place to live. You name it. I have my list. You have yours. And we go to take a big gulp, and it's nothing but sand that we dump on our heads. You get it? The word tells us that we could be planted by a stream of water that will always nourish us. And just think about the scriptures. That it tells us whether in times of joy or whether in times of sorrow, what it looks like to walk in faithfulness to God. Nothing better than water that supplies our needs in the good times and in the hard. That's what it looks like to find nourishment in the Word of God in this way. And then lastly, as we close, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. That it is not only a stable, that it is not only a nourished, but it is also fruitful. In season, it is producing things that are right. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, when we plant our community, when we meet together around the Word of God, we will bear fruit. But fruit that is in kind with the Word of God and His will. The fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. You guys hear me? Producing this kind of fruit in our life means that we're rooted in the Word of God well. And these are not the kind of benefits that the world offers to us. There's nothing in there about success and prestige and fame, is there? But there's everything about sacrifice and love and hope and patience. And when you and I, as a community, get built in the Word of God like this, we bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So this evening, as we close, as we think about this psalm and what it means as we're building community, this first kind of building block, it's being rooted in God's Word so that we might reject the temptations of the world and that we might be finding ourselves stable and finding true nourishment and bearing fruit for God in our life. So as a way of application here this evening as we close, I want you to think with me, where are you in this process here up on the screen? If you have not yet found a place to connect, to find community, then we encourage that you take that next step. Because in these places of community here at our church and in other churches in the city, the hope is that you might get rooted in God's Word so that the story of God in Jesus Christ may be the defining story of yours as well. Take a look at opportunities on our website, places where there are Bible studies being held. In a few weeks, we're having our small groups that are launching. Perhaps it's one of those places where you need to start on that next road. If you're looking to grow in the Word of God, perhaps it's time for you to take a class at one of our Sunday schools or our New York School of the Bible, or perhaps you've never studied the Word of God on your own and you need to think, you know, how do I read through the Scriptures? How do I study the Word of God on my own? Take that next step so that you might be firm and rooted as you seek to grow in community, as you seek to make much of God where He has planted you. Amen?